Zendo. And then people in the Dirt Zendo will introduce themselves. So I will start with Tyler. Betty.
Betty.
Dave.
Dave.
Jinryu.
Jinryu.
Susan.
Susan.
Ellen.
Ellen.
Bob.
Bob.
Marv.
Marv.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Drew.
Drew.
Gaffel.
Gaffel.
Dennis.
Dennis.
Cassie.
Cassie.
Mark.
Mark.
Julie.
Julie.
Linda.
Linda.
Paulette.
Paulette.
Sabrina.
Sabrina.
And Ruth Ann.
Ruth Ann.
And in the Dirt Zendo.
Andrew.
Andrew.
Joan.
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 Joan. Jen. Jen.
Ted.
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 Jill.
Jill.
Coral.
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 Carson.
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 Alice.
Alice. Alice. Domio.
Domio.
All right. Nice. Huh?
Dave Q.
I did him earlier and then he popped down.
Oh, okay.
His video went off and then he went. Where are you, Dave?
Cathedral Park, I think.
Oh. Nice.
Chimney Park.
Oh.
Well, it's probably cooler out there than it is in the Zendo right now. Our heat pump AC units are not working for some mysterious reason, which we'll have to figure out. So if I'm all like red and flushed, that's why. I'm fine. I got water. I'm fine. Okay. So let's see. In terms of announcements. So yes, I am back from sabbatical. You can ask me questions, you can make appointments with me, you can bother me. I have to say, like, this was, the month of July was quite amazing, because I went on sabbatical last year for the first time, but I ended up having a lot of stuff I still had to do. We still had a board meeting that month, and we were preparing to reopen eventually, so there was all that kind of, how are we going to set up Zoom and all this, and I still checked the info at brightwayzen.org email address, which is our general email address. So generally when I check that, I get pulled into just hours worth of admin work, this and that, and responding to this, and oh, that makes me think of and this time, not only did, you know, everybody staff things and people gave the talks and the classes and all that, but Coral checked the info at brightwayzen.org address and only forwarded me to domio@brightwayzen.org, what I really needed to see. So that was an amazing kind of disconnect of just, you know, putting this all down for a little while and then, you know, and I can come back and pick it all back up with renewed enthusiasm. So thank you to everyone who made that possible. And coming up this coming Saturday, 5 to 7 Pacific time, and we tried to make it early enough so that if you're in a later time zone, you can still participate. We're having our Brightway Zen open mic night, and I really hope it's going to be well attended because of the way that it's gonna, you're gonna get to know Sangha members in a totally different way, whether they're sharing a poem. I actually thought we should have encouraged people to be really multimedia about it. Like if you have a really cool garden, you could take a nice video of your garden and you can share it, right? Because we're all sitting in front of a screen anyway. Anyway, if you have any ideas like that at the last minute that you'd like to share, that would be lovely.
I just checked the newsletter and it said it was 4 to 6. So you're saying it's 5 to 7.
Maybe, yeah. If you're probably right, Because that would have made it like early enough, right? That it's not terribly late for East Coasters.
No.
Okay, so check the website.
Okay. The website says 5 to 7.
Well, if there's any confusion about that, I'll check the newsletter and we'll send out a clarifying email about when that is.
Okay.
I will play you some accordion music. show up for that. And in the Dirt Zendo, if you are local, you're welcome to bring people as long as, you know, they are similarly vaccinated and willing to show us their card. Let's see. And then the Saturday after that, August 13th, is our first one-day retreat of the... It's almost like Zen is almost like school. You know, we kind of start... I don't want to think of August as the fall yet. No, that's too soon. But... yeah, like these don't happen that often because they alternate with like a term student retreat. So if you're looking for a day of stillness and practice, we'll obviously have that in the Dirt Zendo, but Cloud Zendo participation as well. And it's a wonderful way to spend a day in silence and to spend a day with Sangha. So I really encourage you to make space for it if you possibly can. And I think that's it. Any thing I've forgotten or questions about any of that?
Question about the open mic.
Yeah.
Just observe.
Oh yes, you yes.
To,
yeah, like so even if you are not coming to share something at open mic, just come and enjoy and listen. So. Paulette. I can't hear you.
Time is the one, what day is the one day retreat?
It's a Saturday, August 13th. Anything else? All right. So, I'm kind of curious. Okay, so the newsletter does say 4 to 6.
Okay.
I'll talk to James is organizing it. I'll be like, what did we decide, James? So I'll try to figure that out. And we'll send out a clarifying thing because there's that confusion. The website says 5 to 7. The newsletter said 4 to 6. So in, you know, last week when I realized, oh, right, I'm going to be back this Tuesday and what are we going to be doing? You know, this is the beauty of being a small Zen center and, you know, I'm the only teacher so far. And I just be like, what do I want to do? I don't have to talk about it with anybody. I don't have to run it by any councils. I don't have to do anything. So I thought, I actually looked at my podcast website and thought, you know, what is something that we haven't talked about for a while, something that I've covered on there. And so I thought about doing a little series on troubling emotions. And by troubling emotions, I mean, because I really like to try to stay away from any kind of, you know, labeling of emotions as bad, like we shouldn't be emotional or something like that. So troubling, I mean that to be a, like you decide what's troubling. If you're not finding it's troubling, then that's fine. Nobody's looking from the outside to say, you know, it's bad that you have that emotion. It's in our own direct experience. What does it mean that something's troubling, right? That it's kind of all consuming. It's painful. It's something that is interfering with our appreciation for life or our work or our relationships. Emotion that kind of gets in the way of our clarity, you know, so we know troubling when we feel it. So the outline of this class, just to give you a little bit of a sense of what I mean by the troubling emotions. So this is on the website and in the newsletter. So tonight I was just going to talk about our basic approach to working with troubling emotions and really thoughts as well, but in reality there's not, if something's troubling, it has an emotional component to it. And from the Buddhist point of view, emotions, complex emotions, all have thoughts associated with them as well. They're very intricately connected. From the Buddhist point of view, the only really, really basic feelings that just arise is like attraction, aversion, and indifference. So at that very basic level, just like, oof, or ah, or, you know, so you can see we evolve to just have that basic emotional reaction to things, but we don't even call it, we just call them feelings. Emotions are more complex, so there's usually a thought component as well. So then next week, I'm going to talk about anger, ill will, hatred, resentment. Forget, they're all kind of closely related, different takes on the same, basically aversion, right? It's but sometimes it's directed at people, sometimes it's fiery, sometimes it's instant, sometimes it lingers. And I called that using their wisdom while staying free from intoxication with them. So, you know, there usually is information in these emotions, but they often consume us and intoxicate us. The next week would be fear, anxiety, worry, and dread, and our goal being to abide in this ephemeral world like a lotus in muddy water. The next week being depression, cynicism, despair, and numbness, finding our way back to the light, and then ending with grief in the past, present, or future. Opening to love and appreciation even in the face of inevitable loss. So that was my, you know, now you have a little bit of a sense of what I mean by troubling emotions. And I'm curious, I don't want to take too much time with this because I want to make sure that we have time for our breakout discussion groups, but I'm wondering, what do people think about this topic? Part of me, it occurred to me, like, it's summertime. No one wants to talk about troubling emotions. To some extent, this is, for many of us, a very, you know, like, kind of lighthearted, happy time of the year. You know, we're, like, enjoying things. It's sunny. We're, you know, going, traveling, whatever. You know, certainly not for everyone. I'm sure there are people in the Sangha who are experiencing troubling emotions right now, but... so I was conscious of that fact, and I thought, is that too much of a bummer for this time of year? But, you know, even if we're not feeling those things right now, we are going to feel them at some point, and or other people in our lives might be feeling them as well. So, you know, what we reflect on might be helpful. So I don't know. I wanted to, what do you think of this topic? What interests you about it? What would you like to see us do or discuss with this topic? Did I miss anything? I thought I, you know, kind of covered the basic types of emotion, but so if anybody just, you know, wants to raise your hand and chime in and just say, like, you know, this is something I'd like to hear or hope that this class will do, or that kind of thing. Jinryu.
I think it's a great topic. I mean, the world is very difficult right now. I think we would all agree with that. And, you know, starting with the pandemic and then going through the political scene and war going on and racist action and climate change and heat. I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who has had a lot of trouble emotionally with the heat. So I think it's very apropos.
Linda.
So I reviewed the transcript from your Dharma talk preparation for tonight. And yeah, I think it's totally relevant because I experience emotions every day, you know, about various things, you know. Some of them are better than others, you know, the emotions. But what struck me as I read through it, it all is a very good way to process one's emotions. But then I started thinking about how, you know, how you can watch a 1 hour drama on TV and everything's resolved by the end. It's like, how long are these steps supposed to take? I mean, I don't think I could resolve some of my deepest emotions in a 1 hour.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about it in that way.
Good point. Susan.
Especially interested in how to support someone close to you, family or friends that have troubling emotions. Just want to put that in there. That's my big thing.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, you know, essentially Buddhist practice is about, you know, an internal process. And it's not something you can make anybody do. But I think, I think a familiarity with the approach can help us kind of hold other people's emotions in more context and also have more faith that, you know, they are bigger than the emotion that they're feeling. You know, that kind of, you're going to be okay, not because you're telling them not to feel that way, not because you're just like, oh, it'll all work out, but you will, you can be okay, right? Like, you can feel this, this doesn't define you, and you could survive. Paulette.
I really like this topic. And I think what Linda was saying, I agree with. Like every day, like those emotions come up, like a spectrum. Just knowing how to skillfully work with them. And I mean, I think the best thing we can do is just be an example to our loved ones of like, if we can handle emotions well, we can be a good example to them. And something else I wanted to say too. But I love the topic. Oh, and another thing is that I think you know, one thing that I've felt that I do, and I feel like happens sometimes in this language, there's a lot of intellectualizing. It's nice to look at the, you know, emotional aspect of things.
And then Alice in the Zendo here.
Am I on?
Yep.
I'd like to know how to deal with unemotional people as well. My husband is really stoic, which makes me, I'm not a very, you know, up and down, I'm not typically up and down person, but I feel like I am compared to his constant one tone. So.
And one more, Tyler.
Hey. I just, to your thought about whether like summertime's an okay time to do it, I think that if we're in the middle of troubling them, like whenever, like I have a tendency, like if my child is having like a big emotional thing. Sometimes I have a tendency to be like, now we're going to talk through how to handle our emotions. But like, it's not the time to do it. We're in the middle of it, right? Like, at that point, we just got to get through it. So like, now, if we spend some time now when everything's, you know, I don't know that, you know, people can have troubling emotions in the summer. But yeah. That's totally like, but I think like, if you're out of it, is a really great time to start working with it and really engaging with it, then hopefully putting these things into practice when the emotions come up. Because mm-hmm. I think if we're in the middle of them, we're not internalizing anything helpful at that point. We just gotta get out of it for a minute.
Yeah, and like people are saying, these things happen all day long, and so we can be practicing with little angers, right, or little fears, and then, you know, kind of the same thing can apply when it's really overwhelming. So I'm hoping that from this little series that everyone will learn from each other. Now, I mean, I, as you know, from my podcast and everything, I have lots of ideas and lots of information and teachings that I want to convey, that I love to convey, but if anything, perhaps I err on the side of like, well, here's a bunch of stuff and then you just sit and listen to it. And that's not, I think a balance is better. I mean, you know, you do come to a class with a leader or a teacher or something, right? You don't just like come to just randomly have conversations. But I do want there to be more engagement, if only because everyone is different. So we're going to talk about the basic principles tonight, but everybody has a different experience of this. Their minds work differently, your emotions work differently. So there might be somebody else who mentions something that they've tried or something that they've faced, and you're like, oh, like that actually is more helpful than anything I've said, or somebody expresses something that, you know, really resonates. So I feel like there's a lot of learning that can be done, all of us, from one another. So I'm aiming for a good 15 minutes of small group discussion of a topic in each class. And I want to say ahead of time, like, what I can speak to as an authority is what our tradition says about something, right? I am here to like share, you know, what I've learned. That's what I'm an authority on. I'm not an authority on, you know, like relationships or, you know, emotions in a psychological counseling sense. And I am not, you know, I haven't mastered all my troubling emotions or anything either. But what I'm familiar with is the practice. So, you know, that's, I'm not the be all and end all authority here. And emotions, in a way, like, this is something each of us has to do in our own experience. If we think of them kind of like koans, that they are a challenge that has to be lived, that can inform us and transform us. And nobody else can, you know, even if they've done the exact same thing, they can't do it for us. So it's through our own direct experience that this comes alive. But I do want to say, and I probably should repeat this each class, that hopefully we can, if people end up talking about like, yeah, you know, I've experienced this troubling emotion, or sometimes I experience this, or I'm experiencing this right now, I really hope that we manage to avoid advice giving. Now, I tend to be a very self-revelatory person. I will just tell you, like, yeah, I was feeling like hell. I mean, if you read the transcript of my podcast episode, I was talking about a bummer of a time I had and, you know, all this. So I share that very freely. But it always has annoyed me a lot when I've ended up in a situation, a small group or a larger group, and then it becomes focused on me. The conversation becomes focused on what Domeo can do to fix her problem. And, you know, when I do that, here's what helped me. And then I'm just like, oh, I did not ask for that. What I think is better because obviously we're going to be, you know, what you say is going to inspire me to say something. So it's not like we're not talking to one another, but what I like is the sense of each person has their own practice. And what we do as Sangha is I trust your practice. I want to witness, I want to hear. Maybe we can talk a little bit about practice and how it can work, but I trust your process. I know you're going to get through this. I know you're going to learn from this. I know you're going to grow. So there's this faith that you're going to work it out. I mean, not on your own as in isolation, but you know, it'll be fine. So I appreciate, my deepest Dharma friends are people who I can go and I can tell them, I am having a rough time right now. I am just so down and discouraged or whatever. And they just, you know, they listen and we talk about it, but they do not make assumptions about me. So that's what you know, we don't make assumptions about like, oh, I see. Oh, I know. I see what problem you have. And it's not a problem I have. I've been through that problem. So I'm just trying to minimize those assumptions so people feel safe talking about troubling emotions. So on to our basic approach. Already running too long. All right, our basic approach. Other than practice, right? If we have troubling emotions, we might try to change our situation. Something's causing my troubling emotion. I'm going to try to fix the situation. Now, I mean, sometimes it's time to do that, right? It's things that actually need to be done. We try to change the situation, or we try to change how we're feeling about it in a kind of willful way, right? I shouldn't think like that. I shouldn't feel like that. We kind of try to argue our way out of the troubling feelings. Or maybe we just give in and kind of wallow in the troubling feelings and just feel like there's nothing really we can do except just endure them. So there's probably other ways, non-practice ways, that we deal with troubling emotions. But in terms of practice, as I like to say, is living deliberately. So in every situation in our life, we ask with this deep faith, what can I do? What can I do with this to relieve suffering, to increase wisdom and compassion? Even if nothing outside me changes. Now, maybe something outside you is going to change. Maybe. But practice is about that different territory. Even if nothing outside changes, even if you never get that job, you never get that security, your relationship never gets better with that person, your health doesn't get better, whatever it is, what can you change? What can you cultivate? What can you do? What can you work on that will ease suffering, increase wisdom and compassion? And this does not, just to remember, it does not preclude action. We might be busy trying to take care of things in a real active sense. But at the same time, we could be doing this internal work because there's no guarantee that we're going to be able to make everything the way we want it. So the essence of the Buddha's teaching is that we can change the state of our own mind. But it's not through sheer force of will. It's through practice. It's through an ongoing, you know, holistic kind of cultivation, working on our view of things, etc. So the basics of the practice, and there's many different ways to phrase this, but as my podcast episode described, when I was working through this one particular funk, I was sitting in a retreat like we're gonna have in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh yeah, there's really like 4 steps to go through. And then afterwards I was like, oh wait a second, doesn't Parabrach have something about like 4 steps, the rain steps? So she says, conveniently, it makes an acronym, right? Recognize what is happening, allow the experience to be there just as it is. Investigate with interest and care, and then nurture with self-compassion. So I'm going to briefly run through the four steps kind of with more of a my own Zen phrasing. So, and we can bring these back up again throughout the subsequent classes as well. So step one being recognizing or acknowledging our experience. And many of us, we end up, whether we avoid doing this, oftentimes just we're too busy. It's like, we just don't even, and then, you know, something manifests, right? That like, oh, now suddenly it sneaks up on us, or we notice that we're feeling this way. Too much to do, or the feelings, the emotions are painful, or they're uncomfortable or confusing. Sometimes there can also be a resistance to acknowledging what's going on because we don't know what to do about it. And if we don't know what to do about it, why open that can of worms? You know, that's just like, that kind of seems like a common cultural wisdom. Just like, if it's too much of a bummer, just don't think about it. Just put your mind on something else, you know, distract yourself. Or perhaps we think we shouldn't be feeling this way. So we have to be willing to face what's going on, to tolerate some discomfort, perhaps challenge our ideas about ourselves for a bit. I do have a podcast episode, like, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Especially if you've been practicing for a while. This is something, I mean, maybe you have other reasons for thinking this, but certainly you've been practicing for a while. Like, I've been meditating for 10 years and whatnot. Like, I don't have that kind of problem anymore. And then when you find yourself depressed, or you find yourself like burning with envy or jealousy or anxiety or something like that, it can be a sense of like, wait a second, this isn't supposed to be happening. So, but the first step to our practice, right? Like my little previous series was studying the self. So that'll be one of the questions to discuss in the small groups is like, what are some of the signs for you that something's going on? I mean, sometimes it rises to a conscious level and there's thoughts along with it, but a lot of times there's other phenomena that happen in our life. Back pain, I fly into little rages, you know, those kinds of things that tell me there's something brewing, there's something going on. Step two, she says, allow the experience to be there. And I think it's very important to think of it as allow ourselves time to experience the negative space, to give it some space, give it some, you know, maybe in our zazen, maybe just sitting with a cup of tea or something. But if we just keep on moving, we often aren't able to check in with this. So we have to allow this to be for a little bit, and also be still with it, not trying to fix things, not trying to stop feeling that way, not trying to figure things out, which is, you know, obviously very tempting, and we're going to be trying to solve and analyze and plan and all that, but really just, oh wow, this is what I'm feeling or experiencing right now. Again, tolerating discomfort, letting things be. And the difference between that and wallowing in the emotion, like, again, if say I'm, you know, I'm really angry, I'm gonna sit and just, you know, allow some time and space for that anger. How is that different from like, I'm gonna sit here and be really angry, you know, be time, you know, time and space to feel angry. And I mean, I'm sure all of you have a way to describe it too, but it's like the, to sit and like be angry is an active thing. And I think of it as like you're tightening up your narratives about it, right? You're like, yeah, you're continuing to just, you know, engage with it, as opposed to just feeling it. So we're not fueling it anymore. We're not trying to argue or push it away. We're just being still with it. So step three, being investigate or explore our experience more deeply. What is really going on here? This is something that hopefully we'll have some chances to talk about in subsequent classes, because I'm not sure I've gotten across to people what I mean by this. People are like, should I do this during Zazen? What are you talking about? But it's like this, it's in the body, in the moment. What else is going on right here? Not what else is, you know, theoretically going on in an analytical or intellectual way. But my classic example was, I was feeling a lot of anxiety when I first got together with my now husband. He didn't have any health insurance, and I was really anxious about that. I was like, oh my God, you have to go out and get the crappy job just so you could pay for some crappy health insurance. Like, this is, and I was really getting wound up about it. And then I just, you know, in sitting and being with that, and, you know, so what else am I thinking? Kind of, unedited, what else is going on in my mind? What if, you know, just exploring. Oh, really? You think that? Like, if you had a friend and you were really trying to understand, what's going on with them? Oh, so is that because you resent your sister? Oh, no, it's not? Okay. All right. What about, you know, like, we're asking these probing questions of ourselves. And I recognize that I had a sense of shame tied up around not having health insurance. Only irresponsible people don't have health insurance. So if anything happened to us, I would feel a great sense of shame, particularly with respect to my father. And I was like, huh, well, that's kind of weird. Like, and when I noticed that, I was able to just go like, well, I'm not gonna let that run my life. I mean, this is far more important than to take care of this relationship that I, so that just kind of dropped away. So this is the kind of thing where we ask, like, is there something extra here that I'm holding on to, that I'm assuming that I can maybe let go of? And if nothing else changes, I can shift this a little bit and it's easier to be with. And then finally, step four, she used to call it non-identification. Now she calls it nurturing. But the aim is basically to challenge the tyranny of negative states in order to live with gratitude and wisdom and fulfill our bodhisattva vows. So, you know, we are not our troubling emotions. We are, so once we recognize, oh, a little bit of what's going on, you know, we dedicate ourselves to doing what it takes to improving things, to easing the how powerful this emotion is, to developing some clarity, to developing some peace of mind. So we do have a little bit of time. So in for 15 minutes, let us share. We won't have too much time when we report back, but I was thinking each group, if you just chose a witness, and I was thinking they don't have to come back and like summarize everything your group talked about, but just something, and it's totally up to them, right? Just whatever, something you think is interesting, something you think is, or a question or something that arose. So the group discussion, choose a witness, and then what are some of the signs that help you recognize you are in a funk? Like, when the troubling emotions visit, how do they start manifesting? How do they start affecting your life? And then what are some things you do to help you deal with those troubling emotions? And in a way, you know, ideally things that are this practice-oriented kind of thing where you're turning toward it, as opposed to, you know, well, I take a, you know, like, I don't know, I watch a movie, so I don't think about it. Because there's various things that we can distract ourselves or take a break, and that's helpful at times too. But not so much just like, I'm going to just kind of push away the troubling emotions, but all right, here they are. How can I deal with them? So I believe Jinryu we'll be able to put our Cloud Zendo folks into rooms. Are you?
Yeah, I'm trying to recreate it all right now. I don't really know what I'm doing.
All right, well, there's no time for any reporting back from the witnesses. Too bad. That would have been cool, but more important that I think we just got a chance to talk like that. I don't know about your groups, but
what did you guys talk about?
I was just thinking, like, we should make a little notebook. We should compile some of the things that people come up with, just, you know, ways to frame things or think of things or approaches once they know that they're being having some troubling emotions. So very, very interesting. Yeah, so next week, anger, ill will, hatred, and resentment. So for the next week, you can think about that, you know, maybe holding the question of, you know, what is good, what is true or good, what is the kernel of truth, you know, that I've heard it said that anger is basically the urge to protect, whether that's ourself or someone else or some, it's the, you know, so basically it's a sense that we're under threat. So it actually springs from fear. So there's a particular reaction, but like sometimes, as we know, it's appropriate. Sometimes there is something to protect. So those kinds of, there's like a kernel of truth in there, but then what makes it go off the rails, right? What makes the anger and the hatred and resentment, where does it become unhelpful? So hopefully we'll talk about that next week. So I will say the closing. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha meeting to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, Domio.
Thank you. And welcome back, Domio.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Thank you.